Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm very excited to announce that I have teamed up with Blonde Medicine and I am releasing the audio for my special Lefty Sun as an album. It drops Friday, September 22nd, everywhere you get music, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, you name it, it'll be out there. Very excited. Go check it out. Support my special on YouTube. Thank you very much. Guys, we got the dates for 2023 locked, maybe a couple more added. Phoenix, I'll see you guys September 29th and the 30th. La Jolla, I'll be back October 20th through the 22nd. Salt Lake City, finally coming back October 27th and the 28th. Hoping to see y'all out there. Batavia, Illinois, my first time going there. Very excited, coming on November 10th and November 11th. And San Francisco to close out the year at Cobbs. Cannot wait to get back to one of my favorite cities in the country. December 8th and 9th. All tickets are available on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. I'm ryansickler.com. I'm Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to say thank you, guys. This community continues to grow. The numbers on YouTube are up. I appreciate everything you're doing. Please go support the special Lefty Sun. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. Share it, comment, do all that. We're pumping that for a year. I saw Tyler, the Creator, say you got to pump your own stuff for a year. And I'm going to listen to Tyler, the Creator, because he's fucking Tyler, the Creator. So there's that. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. The Honeydew with y'all is the craziest show on Patreon. I guarantee it. For $5, it's $5. All right. And you get the Honeydew a day early. You get it ad free. You get it at no additional cost. And again, we just had the guy, the old man and his wife were held hostage by a convict that killed a dude he escaped with and set the car on fire. The old man gets away, gets a handgun out of his pickup truck, and they have a fucking showdown. $5, okay? Cup of coffee, you're getting hundreds of episodes of this craziest shit. They're your stories. So if you or someone you know has a story, it's got to be heard. Submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do an episode with you. And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, I'm telling you, go listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. The Crab Feast is a storytelling podcast I did with Jay Larson. And everyone in podcasting you know and love has been on it. Burr, Kreischer, Segura, Christina P., everybody. They're all in there. And that download, that library is going to do 1 million downloads this year. It's insane. The community is still so wildly active. And I'm telling you, it's a good, good listen. So check it out. It's a 7.5-year library. All right. And if you are in town when I am around, come see me on tour. The Live and Alive tour is rolling September 29th and 30th, Phoenix, Arizona, October 20th and through the 22nd, La Jolla, California, October 27th and 28th, Salt Lake City, November 10th and 11th, Batavia, Illinois, and December 8th and 9th, San Francisco, California. And that's it. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on here, y'all. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jared Freed. Welcome to the Honeydew, Jared.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to be here. I love watching a chef cook. I love watching that that intro. You know what I was thinking when you were doing that? Because I do. I'm a big intro guy. Like I like an intro.
It's necessary.
It's necessary. Sets up the show, introduces what we got going on. You give your dates. We are comedians are the only people, or podcasters, I guess I would say, who thank you. The first thing we do, thank you. Like, that's how much we appreciate. Like, I do the same because I just tape podcasts for myself. I just did an alone episode of my show. And I start with, I can't thank you enough. Like, and it's like, you know,
you could be doing anything you fucking want.
Right. You opted in to this show and we say thank you. I think it's important to acknowledge, like, you know, you think Friends is starting with thank you for watching Friends tonight. They're fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, Seinfeld doesn't come out at the beginning of Seinfeld. Hey, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to my bullshit. No, they're like, you should take what we put out there. You, I don't know. The whole dynamic of entertainment has changed, and that's not saying anything new. But, like, the idea, we really do appreciate. Like, because, look, I walked in here. You have a business. There's a, you know, there's a real business that is
making
happening
me feel good
here.
About myself.
You
Jared
should.
Free.
This is a beautiful thing. This is amazing. People are employed.
So
people
have worth. We're modern day family business today. That's
absolutely.
What this is.
Yes. This is, and you're supporting a family business. This is, and you're putting joy. We allow people as podcasters to take their brain and put it on the shelf for an hour, whatever it might be, and get away from their thoughts. And it's the most intimate art form. We are inside of people's bodies. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
People put AirPods in. It's the only thing we're right in here. Them.
Yeah.
It's intimate.
Inside so, them. And also right. they're getting to know an hour each week of Jared and not, you know, Don, the bookkeeper that you play on a sitcom.
Oh,
they're
right,
getting
right,
to know
right,
you.
Right, right.
They don't like you because they love this character over right. here. They know you.
Well, that's made.
Then they root you on harder when you go be Don, the bookkeeper, or whatever the
absolutely.
Hell it is.
Absolutely. Or they, you know, it's made stand up. You have to be more committed to your stand up mm-hmm. and what you do on stage. It's a different thing
yep.
than what's going on here with you and I. Like, this is to get to know the person. And, like, yeah, then you say, oh, you got to go. I just met this guy. He seemed like a nice, someone I'd be cool with.
Yeah,
you
we've
know?
Never met before.
You
I've been
I
a big
too.
Fan. I can tell
dude,
you're a good person.
It goes both ways. Thank you.
Can really tell. But before, and I appreciate everything you're saying, but I'm here to support you now.
Oh,
so
stop.
Before we get into this, plug, promote everything and anything, social media, specials, all
the
of it.
The special 37 and single is out on Netflix. It is, I want everyone to go watch it. That's it. It's on Netflix, 37 single. You can type in J-A-R, and I come up right next
hell
to the movie
yeah.
Jarhead.
Hell yeah.
I just already looked it up. So when does this come out?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
A couple weeks, yeah.
Okay, so it's out.
Yeah.
It's called 37 and single. If you've been in your 30s, if you've been single, if you've had friends give you advice on being single, if you've been to a gender reveal party, if you have body issues, if you have parents, if you're Jewish, you're going to love it. That's it. It's fun. I'm not in the business of come to your town and upset you and change your mind. I am there to make you laugh. And if you're, my audience is generally women. I think when men watch my show with their girlfriend or significant other, they are seen in a in the light who they truly are, mm-hmm. which is a fucking disgusting idiot who's a little bit more vulnerable than people know and is likes more. To have fun, yeah. a lot more. Yeah. You know, because when we go on stage, you know, I get, my audience is mainly women. I get a lot of women that come because I give dating advice. I've been talking about dating for.
Well, you also, I don't mean to interrupt go. You, but you also do this favorite ick thing that I love. And yeah. I laughed the other day because I saw one where the girl said the towel on the shoulder. So that's great. Totally my move. But so I'm talking, great. It's totally.
Right. You put the towel on the
it's
shoulder.
Totally my move. And I was like, oh, right. she hates that.
Fuck, I'm unfuckable now. That's like, that's the thing.
Like, every, that's my move.
That's the thing. And, you know, the ick, there's a, so there's an ick bit on the special.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole reason I do that, you know, everyone's putting out crowd work clips to go ahead, have at it. But I had this bit where I talk about the ick and not understanding it because it's not a very guy thing, straight guy thing. And then I went to the crowd. I go, does anyone have a fun ick? And women were yelling out the most hilariously specific things, just like a guy looking.
And the ick being something that just drives them, can't stand.
Will not fuck that
yeah,
guy
like
ever.
That's ruined.
I saw this one thing and, he's and done. I'm out. Yeah. That's the ick. And it's yeah. wonderful. Confident men can laugh at it.
Yeah.
The least confident men get angry. They go, oh, you're just a towel right. on your yeah, shoulder. Yeah. And you go,
oh, you tell me that? Fucking throwing up two towels on my right. shoulder. You know what I'm saying? I'm
right.
Saying,
yeah. One woman's ick yeah. is another yeah. woman's husband. Yeah, that's right. the whole fun part. Everyone knows that. Truth. What do you think? Yeah. You're going to be fuckable to everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off. You're a little too confident.
One woman's ick is another woman's husband.
Right.
It's the truth.
I say that on the show because I had to tell because then women would yell. You know, again, everyone's angry. Everyone's not confident. Yeah. So, like, there's male versions of not confidence mm-hmm. and there's female version of not confidence. Yeah. You know, you'd have some woman that would yell, like, bad breath. And I'm yeah. like, well, that's not an ick. That's a turnoff. Yeah. You know, that's... No one in the room, I always say, I have to set it up because now people have seen the videos and they want to yell their icks. And I'm like, I have to set up, like, some things are just turnoffs.
No. Also, it needs to be women, I think, because guys will sleep with anything. You know what I mean?
Go watch the bit. Yeah. Go watch the bit. I explain. I'll shut up. Yeah. yeah, listen, it's yeah. not the most fucking genius bit in the world, but it's so fun. I explain basically how little I understand that because yeah. there's no ick.
Right.
You know, we... It doesn't whatever. Matter. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's the thing. You know, when they say women dress for other women, guys dress for other women. You know, we want to be fuckable. So the idea of a guy getting knocked off his fucking stoop a little bit mm-hmm. is funny.
Yeah, for sure.
And
knock him down.
So I love doing the ick. Yeah. So it started as that. So I was like, I do the bit. I open it. And then I go, does anyone have an ick? And then I get all the crowd work bits, the clips I want. And it's a fun part of the show. And then I do the end of the bit. And that's what it was over the course of a year. So, but that's a special. This is
so go watch the special.
Go, and
go
if you like The Bachelor, special. You can go.
What is it, 37 and?
37 and single.
And single.
It's
all
on
right.
Netflix. It's been the greatest time of my life. Just hell the last yeah. couple of weeks, like getting to like put it out there.
Yeah,
you know, it's so I'm it's exciting.
Now let's get to know a little let's bit about you. You and I were talking before the show. So you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You're a outside Jewish family.
Outside
Jewish,
of Boston. Yeah. Needham.
A brother. You said you have one sibling?
Younger brother. Younger, okay. 4 years younger.
All right.
And then I got two parents still together. They live mm-hmm. in Boca now. They're like, they made the Jewish migration.
It's Boca specifically. Boca. I hear that a lot.
They are literally like, it's hard to tell people because it's a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there a large community of Jewish people in Boca? Or is it just
are you alive?
I didn't know.
You didn't know?
I knew it was old, but I didn't
you're
know it was
very not Jewish.
I'm no, Italian.
Yeah, no. This yeah. is, it's, I mean,
that's the
it's
spot.
Boca Jews.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Northeast Jews, all retired, all in communities. The communities are like little tiny summer camps.
Okay.
They all know, have reputations of their own. Mm. My parents are like, I mean, at the end of my special, I put hidden cameras in the green room to tape my parents yelling at me. So if you go to the credits of my special,
yeah,
it's my parents.
Why are they yelling at you?
Just because that's what they do. They were like, I was like, my original idea was I want my parents like giving me shit in the way they do. And then I want to smash. I want to open with my parents being like, you did this, you wore that, what are you wearing, what's going on? And then cut to me on stage. I'm 37 and single. It got too confusing. I think for people who knew me, it was funny, but like as a stand-up special, like you would just want to get, let's get into it. So we put it in the credits. They still don't know. It hasn't come out yet. So they still don't know that there was hidden cameras in the green room. So we taped them. And it's like, and it was funny because before when we were leading into it, you know, Lavin, you know, homeless pimp who made the special, he was like, he goes, he's the best. And he goes, how are we going to get them to like say shit? I go, he goes, do you want them to like read lines? I was like, come on, how you're going to have so much fucking shit. We're going to have B-roll. And he goes, you don't want to like make sure they have like a line to say to you. I go, if you give them a line, they won't be good at it. I was like, and we got done taping and Lavin looked at me. He's like, this is fucking crazy. Cause it's my mom being like, take a picture of us. No, you take the worst pictures. And then it's my dad. The makeup woman walks in. He goes, I told her, make you look tan. Like it's shit. It's just parent shit. Right.
Yeah.
So we have all that. So like, my parents, like all we do is scream and yell and, it's like, it's just a whole thing. Like it's, and right now, like I'm on the road, I'm doing a different hour than the special and it's all about my family. And it's like this idea that like, you know, I'm 38 and it's weird that like, I'm in this like business relationship with them. Like I do feel like I like hanging out with them. We are together a lot. It's just, they give me shit in ways that if a stranger did, I wouldn't speak to that person again. You know, like everything's
a
battle.
Sure.
Everything's an explanation. Why would you do it this way? Even this week, I flew here on Thursday and then I went back to New York on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then came back here on Sunday.
That's nuts.
Nuts. And my dad goes, where are you? And I go, I didn't explain it to you because you wouldn't understand. And then he goes, what do you mean? I go, I flew here Thursday. Then I flew back on Saturday. Then I flew back on Sunday to LA. And he goes, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't understand. So end of conversation. Just don't ask any questions.
So tell me about your dad. You said, you brought up business, small business, family business here. What did your dad do for a living?
He wholesale liquor, beer, and wine.
Okay.
So like,
but is which that is, for himself or he worked for a company? Like what did he do?
It was a family business. It was like my grandparents, my family. Okay. And it was like, you know, a long time. My dad has three siblings. Everyone was involved in everything.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And then they also did nursing home stuff and just ran nursing homes and assisted care living facilities. So, and then those just slowly kind of like got sold and that was it. But my dad was always like, encourage, you know, you got to go help the family type of thing. And I think when I started doing comedy, my brother and I, he was always like, go away.
He was good with that.
There was no, it wasn't going to happen that way. Just that wasn't even an option.
He did not want you to do this.
It didn't seem, it just never came up. It, you know, one got sold when I was in like high school, whatever. And the other he like went and worked at and helped with. And it wasn't like we're going to go third generation on this.
Right. Okay.
You know, like that wasn't even a thought. And, you know, to us, he was like, you know, very much a supporter of like, I went to Penn State and then he's like, go to New York. New York is where it happens. Well, I don't know what, but that's where successful people go.
Yeah.
You know, go do something. Yeah. And he would always say, you can't do nothing. And I'm like, that's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, you know,
that's
okay.
Like the lottery. How about get some ideas? Somebody wins.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. No shit.
Car dealerships. It's new to you. Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Can't do nothing. I was like, well, how about a little direction here? So, yeah, I was just like I went to a state school. You're living in unreality. You know, like Penn State is like the thickest bubble. You just go there and party and have fun. And there's no person in that town who could hire you one day.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you're kind of the top of the pecking order and you don't give a fucking shit. So, I walked around in an Elvis wig and overalls at football games.
Did you?
Yeah. So I was like a fucking idiot. And I, had fun, made the friends of my life, you know, like all that stuff. And then, yeah. So my family, like growing up, like it was like, just a lot of ball busting, like just a lot of like my dad has a big family, so
that's where we come from. Right. Like, it's like, hey, asshole.
Right.
Like you say that to a regular person. They're like, what are you calling me an asshole? Right. Like, and it derails. I'm like, no, that's hello. Like, that's just getting your attention. You know, like, hey, asshole.
I'll never. Even my grandmother, my grandmother, I brought her to a show in Boston. I opened for Steve Sweeney. I was like, Steve Sweeney is the biggest fucking Boston comic ever. I go open for her. I bring her to Nick's Comedy Stop. They had it in like a ballroom at that point. Like it was just a different type of club than it was in the past. And I remember my grandmother was sneaking nips, the airplane vodkas. Mm-hmm. And she kept pouring her own drink, which she always did. That wasn't new to me.
Right, yeah.
And I got off stage and the owner or the booker, Ryan, he's like, we just saw your grandmother pouring her own drinks. That's how we make money. Like, what's going on? And my mom, and he's like, can you talk to your grandma? I was like, I'm not going to talk to my grandmother about her drinking habits. And I go, Nana.
Like, but also fucking let the lady have a couple of drinks, bro. What's it really setting you back? $4?
I'll pay it.
Thank you.
Like, what a.
Thank you.
Right.
Come on.
And I don't know why I did. I went and talked to her. I go, Nana, they saw you pouring your drinks. You got to stop. Like, and I'm also like the young comic. I'm trying to figure shit out. I'm trying to get booked again.
Mm, of course.
And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Full criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just total criminal activity.
Fucking bottles rattling right. in her purse.
I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, Nana, I know what you know what I'm talking about. And she was like, he can go shit in his hat. That's her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right. Yeah. That's such an old person thing to say. I don't even know what it means.
Totally is. Yeah.
So that's like hat. But that's an example. Like that's how she was. Like mm-hmm. It's just everyone was
fired
like that.
Up. Yeah.
But that's Boston too. Like everyone's just ready to like
listen
fuck
that
with
whole
you. Right.
It's Gaffigan and I talked about this from the Mid-Atlantic up is yes. just an angry, aggressive, shit talking, fucking thick skinned location. And
I
you
totally
better
agree.
Be fucking ready for it.
Right.
You just better. It's not even personal sometimes.
Right.
It's just some shit talking.
Right. It's funny. Like we talk about those crowd work clips. You see a lot of comics posting them and it's like, sometimes I see people, it's just like, you weren't built for this. Mm-hmm. You see people post them, you go, this isn't in your nature, like.
And you got a cousin that's 20 times funnier right. over there at the house dropping them left and right.
Right. And I could, if I came back to my cousin with that, the whole room would go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So there's two stories I really want to hear about. Okay. We talked earlier. You had an accident when you were younger. I want to talk about this. Do you remember what you said?
I got my license. And
were you 16 when you got it?
16 and a half
okay.
is when you got your license. Mm-hmm. It's funny because all these revolve around football. We love football.
Your next story does too.
I know. So yeah, I love, but I'm a football fan.
Okay. Who you grow up liking? Are you Patriots?
Yeah. And the Patriots now gets this like reputation that you're like all of a sudden because they were good, you're a bandwagon. Like, I think like my dad and his best friend were always just like big Patriots. They like loved it. I think they were also the types like Foxborough, like the people who, I guess that's generally football fans. Like it's a, blue collar, we're going to scream and yell the whole game type, baseball's a little more reserved, a little more, again, you see your people there, but it's like, there's people that go to a game after work.
Right.
Football yes. Sunday.
Yeah. People
nobody's in their
tie from afros and painting their face and shit. Yeah.
They're just fucking and gone, hammered.
Hammered.
Like we used to go to the Patriots game and we went my whole life, my family, we always had season tickets to everything. Like, cause my dad, liquor business, you give them out.
Oh, hell yeah.
We always had tickets. We always had the game. And we were even at the snowball game. I'll never forget.
Were you really the one with the snowplow guy came through?
No, no, no. That's an older one. That's the old snowball game.
Okay.
The Brady Tuck rule game.
Oh, the yeah.
We called the snowball. There? It was my brother, dad, and I. We're in the stands. We see Brady go back. Ball pops out. My dad goes, let's fucking go. He collects us all. I'm in high school. My brother's in middle school. We start running out of the stadium. We start going, you know, if the stadium is like this, we're on this side. So we're running across the stadium to get to my dad's car. And then we're literally at the goal line of you go past this point, you're not allowed back in. We hear the crowd go fucking nuts. And we're like, we got to go back. We turn around. We go to seats that weren't even ours. And they overturn the call. Now it's not a fumble. Patriots ball. They kick a field goal. I'll never forget it. We're in the stands. And it's the last game of Foxborough Stadium. This guy next to us is just peeing in the stand.
Yeah.
And he's pissing. Right. Pissing. And I remember I'm in high school. He looks at me and goes, I can't miss this game. And just wouldn't leave. That's like what was going on. And that's the type of animals who go to games. Like, oh, I remember we used to sit in front of this one family. My dad and my dad's best friend, I think growing up, used to go to Patriots games. Like, and the Patriots were always the fourth team. Like,
yeah,
they weren't the Patriots that now people hate. Hell they no. weren't the evil empire.
You had the 85 team, and then that was pretty much it.
That's it. And the Celtics, the Red Sox first, the Celtics, and then the Bruins is a different crew, but always popular.
Always.
Patriots, and my dad and his best friend, we used to watch every Sunday. That was when we ate. Like, that was when we brought in special food to our house. Like, that was like a big deal to me. Like, that's a warming feeling for me.
Yeah.
And I remember they used to talk about a guy that sat behind them and we get fucking tanked. And the whole game would go, hit him, hit him, annihilate him, hit him, hit him. So my uncle, who's my dad's best friend, we used to call him Uncle Steve, he would go, the whole game, hit him, hit him. So then we do that. Like, we have these like things. It's like, you know, football was always just a part of like everything. And I remember I got my license 16 and a half. I'm born in February. So I'm getting my license in the summer, right? That would make sense math wise. And we had preseason Patriots tickets. And my dad's like, go with your brother, go to the game. What freedom, you know, like your first time driving.
And you got your 12-year-old brother. He's 4 years younger.
4 years younger.
Yeah, so you got a 12-year-old.
And we get to be on our own and do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't asked. You or your brother, do either of you, I know you say you're single, but do either of you have kids?
No. Okay. He's engaged.
Okay.
Yeah, he's engaged and she's great. But also, like, he got engaged older, you know, he's 34. You know, like, it's really been, like, the four of us. Like, it's like, and we do all... I'm very lucky. I understand when families kind of go their own ways.
Yeah.
We're all very much alike. Like the things we relate on. Food, sports, ball busting, you know, we're in a way that I know it's a lucky thing. That just doesn't happen.
Yes.
I know family dynamics are hard. Some people can't let shit go. And then other people come into your family. My dad used to always say, says things that I don't think he realizes are good, but he also, it always sounds a little fucked up. So he's like, it's not the, he'd like be next to my mom. He's like, he go, it's not the family that argues. It's the people that marry in and rip you apart.
He's right, though. He's right, though.
And he is right. I don't know if you say that next to my mom. Like, he says shit like that, and I go, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've always played the part of empathy person my whole life. Like, there's no, like, I've always had the, I see what you're saying, even though it's not in a way I can see the.
You can make that a little more palatable.
It's my.
Yeah.
It's probably, if I'm going to give myself credit, it's my best quality, and it's my quality that wastes my time the most. Because I'm sitting there thinking of how did you come from that angle? And, when he said that, I was like, he is right. Because when you're in a family dynamic, you go, that's a place I'm going to say something. That's a place I'm not. Mm-hmm. And the place you don't is where your wife or girlfriend or whoever comes in and goes,
you better say something about
you. Yeah, you're right. You better.
What are you, a fucking pussy?
You better say
right. Something. Now they got the ick. I don't get fucked. Because I didn't tell my dad to shut the fuck up and stop asking me questions. 100%. You know what I mean?
100%.
And this probably all has a reason right. I'm 38 and single. This is probably why I live in fear of commitment. I'm like, we got a good here. You know?
Yeah, you don't want to break this up.
Right.
Oh, shit.
So this is
it's
all.
It's that Yoko that you don't want coming in, you know, right. breaking up the four of you Beatles.
I live in fear of it.
Yeah.
Because I like it. Yeah. I'm having fun. So
it works for you.
It works for me.
There's no quick fix for anxiety and depression. It's not finding a new therapist or starting an exercise routine. It's not more in regular meditation or a better diet. Sometimes you need something to unlock your brain and a new way of thinking about and seeing the world. And maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom. There's a new tool to improve your mental health. It's at-home ketamine therapy. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. Unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. Right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew and you use the promo code honeydew. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and depression with MindBloom. mindbloom.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
So
you and your brother are headed to
preseason. We get in the car to a preseason game. If you've ever been to Foxborough Stadium, it's not a very easy place to get to. It's one road.
But it's out there, right?
It's out there. Yeah. It's, you know, 45 minutes from Boston, but like from my house, it wasn't 45. You know, it's an okay drive. So we go out there, and I've done it a million times even at that age.
What are you driving?
Jeep Liberty.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Little mini, medium SUV,
a
right?
Medium, it was my car. Mid I was given SUV. A car
okay,
right away.
Wow.
So that tells you everything you need to know about my family background,
yeah.
which I'm okay with. Some you know, some have one have a Jeep. Some people get the old Corolla. Not
that's
me.
What I.
I've
got an 82.
There's some yeah. Listen, every comedian will try and outpour me. Not hard to
no,
do.
No, I'm not trying. I'm just laughing. That's the exact fucking car.
Is it really?
That's yeah, funny. It really is. No, okay, so you guys are in a Jeep Liberty.
Jeep Liberty, brand new.
Navy blue, what color black. Is it? Black, okay.
So, and this relates to the other story that my grandfather was like, I got you. My grandfather was always spoiling me, like my mom's dad. My mom's from Michigan. He spoiled me to death. I was the first grandson. Mm. He is like, he's an amazing person. He was an amazing person. Like, but to me, I could do... No, it was always, I was the number one out. So I think that's a big grandparent thing. Your first one, you know, I don't know. I would assume.
I mean, I'm a dad. I can imagine my daughter's first child's going to be a big deal. Yeah.
Right. You're going to go.
The one.
And you'll get everything. And you get to be grandpa.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You made him a grandfather.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think he was just like, car, you know, whatever you want. So. We're driving to Foxborough, which is like a little, not a drive, you know, a little bit of a drive. And it's like kind of a one lane highway to get into the stadium. And it's not really a great drive. It's actually known for that. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they had a median in the road and they took the other side of the street and they made it go a different way than it normally goes. So I, in the car, drift out to that lane that normally goes east and is now going west.
Okay, yeah.
There's a cop on a motorcycle.
Oh, no.
I'm a month into a license. No. There's a cop on a motorcycle who I know for a fact didn't remember that they made the road that goes east go west. So he's looking.
So wait, you're actually going the right way.
I'm
then.
Going the right
okay,
way.
You're going the correct way.
Right.
He's not.
He's looking the other way.
Okay.
And I know I'm right because if I was the way the crash happened, he crashed. So then I'm coming in and he turns into the side of my car. And I'm like, oh my fucking God.
And how fast
God.
Is like, how not fast, fast. Are you guys
I'm
going?
Like in traffic.
But
so
he's
like,
also on a motorcycle. He's all, well, that's deadly even as you go down.
Right. Yeah. But if he, again, to crash into the side of my car from that position, you have to be looking the other way.
Yeah.
It's not my, I've looked, thought about this a million times. It couldn't have been my fault. But I'm 16 and a half and a month.
And he's a cop.
And he's a cop.
And it's a bike.
I'm like, no, oh my fucking winning. God, my life yeah. is over. We pull over the car. I'm like looking at my brother. I'm like, fuck, fuck, fuck. I'm screaming. I'm like, I'm done. It's over. I hit a cop. Yeah. It's bad on a bike. And I'm like, fuck. And they come over. I'm like, I'm sorry. Immediately, it's my fault. I did everything.
Oh, no.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm not sitting there being like, fuck you.
Fucking guy's not looking
what the
for.
Fuck? He's looking the wrong way.
Yeah, my brand new Liberty, goddamn.
Right, it's a brand new car. Come on, my grandpa bought this for me. Like, I'm not, you know, getting yeah. cocky.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking junior in high school.
Oh, shit.
So we went, I remember I had to, like, go to court and, like, show up in court. And they're like, and you
was
could.
Was he banged up or was he
no,
fine?
They let me off the hook. But made it sound like they were doing me a favor, which isn't the case. If I look back now, I'm like, no, you're all just gonna like cover for one another.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want this cop gonna get known? Like, no,
from
they
a 16-year-old kid.
Right. And yeah. you fucked up. And I think like the idea, like I remember them being like, oh, he's been getting shit about it. Like, yeah, he was getting shit about. That he turned the wrong way. He forgot which way the street was going.
You know they all
I know yeah. that. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to let you off. You know, this is a good learning lesson. And I'm like.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It wasn't the lowest point in my life, but it definitely was like, it just...
It's a hell of a way to start your driving fucking right. record. Yeah, bro.
And now I got my mom, you drive too slow. It's yeah. like, well, you didn't hit a cop. Day one. Right, I'm a little
fucking
ruined.
Yeah, dude, that's terrible.
Terrible.
I want to hear this other story that involves football. This is one that you said we were going to talk about, and this is interesting
So then the Patriots get good. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm at that again, Tom Brady
game. It's
not game.
Just football, it's Patriots again, too.
It's
huh?
the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Patriots go to the Super Bowl.
Which one is this of your, what, nine?
Nine or whatever it is. The helmet catch game.
Oh, the David Tyree.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what year this was. Whatever it was, I was selling life insurance and I'm making cold calls every day. I'm fucking miserable. This is the life I'm, again, go to New York City, do something. You can't do nothing.
Right.
And I'm there. And honestly, I was just like there kind of parking my car. Like, I'm just like, let me figure out what I want and which direction I want to go to. But also... You know, they're going to do this job. And at first I was like giving it a gung-ho, like maybe this will be my career. And then when you learn something isn't, you start going, okay, let me figure out what's the next move. And my thing was I didn't want to do the next thing unless I was going to sprint at it.
I hear you on that.
You know yep. what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and even at a young age, I was like disillusioned with like, I could feel that I was like part of this, like someone else's grift. You know, life insurance, like I was on a team, but it wasn't really a team. This guy just needed numbers to get, mm-hmm. you know, you could feel that. And then some people succeed and I'm sure they do well. And I actually was jealous of people who loved their job. Like I was like you'd see like these people, they come and they'd convince themselves that they were like, I'm Gordon Gekko, right? You could. There are people, and you go, it's laughable, but if anyone who's ever sold life insurance, there's someone there who's crushing it.
Oh, no doubt. Yes, there's the Tom Brady of life insurance, no doubt. Yeah.
There's someone that makes it out, but they go through a lot of people to not. Real estate, same thing. You know, selling Sunset. You know, like, there's people that, they got the slick back hair, they got the good look, and they got the cool car, and you go, this must be an easy job. And you go, no, you have to be, you know, good at this and delusional.
Yeah.
You know, like, to be able to sing, dance, and dust. And that. But I was jealous of the idea. Like, I don't like when someone's like, oh, you got out of that to be a comedian. Good for you. You're out of the rat race. I'm like, no, there's someone in every industry who's, and I think what happens is you get, I remember when I left selling life insurance, I was like, they kind of like, when you're in an office space, you're like, this is the only way to make $100,000. Dude, and then when you get out of that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get out of that and you go,
I was there for sure.
What did you do?
I wrote and produced promos and upfront presentations and sizzle reels and produced and directed for networks for a long, long time, daytime. And at nighttime, I would still do, and weekends, I would tour and do comedy.
Wow. I mean, and you probably looked at someone in that production world and was like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the person, well, whatever dude, it was. That's the one if I really did it a certain way, I'd end up there.
I'd be that guy.
Right. Yep. And then you.
Then I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
Right. You slowly realize you don't have the energy for it.
No.
Like, I literally physically, comedy, I've always had the energy.
People,
you know,
it's easy when you love it.
Right.
It's easy to, you know, it's not easy, but you know what I mean? It's way better than dragging yourself to a place that you hate, you know, whether it's whatever. I'm going to Jiffy Lube today and I'm changing oil and I fucking hate it. Then do something about it.
Well, I used to always think of, like, I played football my whole life, or I played Pop Warner, then I played high school. And I was always like, I wasn't built for it, like, as a human, but I was always like good at it. Like, I played D-line as a smaller, I wasn't like a 6'5", three, you know, like, but I remember in high school, they'd be like, scout team. And I would run out there. And the best feeling in the world, and I'm telling high school football stories. Yes, I know how much of a fucking loser this makes me. But I remember the best feeling in the world was being a sophomore on the scout team who embarrassed the fuck out of the senior.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be doing the drills, the first team, and I'd somehow figure out a way, and because I was pretty good at, you know, whatever, and I'd ruin their practice. And then they'd do the thing. They'd grab your helmet. Who is this? This guy? This fucking loser? That's what they do.
Yeah, you let this guy shit all over you.
Right, and it was really an insult to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
This piece of shit right here is eating your
lunch. You let this fucking loser? What's your name? And you'd be like, Jared. Jared? You didn't even have your name on your helmet. Just a fucking loser. You let this loser?
Trashing you.
You know, and the guy who you're... It's like, wait a minute, I did well.
You know, like, not good job at all to you.
No, never good job.
Yeah, this piece of trash just owned you.
Football is the most instructive thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's like, it is so...
Oh, shit.
And that was the best feeling in the world to me. I just love that. And I was like... this happened my whole life. I remember I'll tell you another story. This is, and I'm going to get, believe me, I'll get to it.
Then we'll hear what happened to you at the way the Patriots got all good. This.
But football is very important to me. I was a junior and I started as D-line as a junior, which not a lot of people in my class did. I'll never forget it. I mean, we were playing against Framingham. It was under the lights and Framingham's driving out of their own 20. Quarterback rolls to the left. I go to meet him if he's going to run. I start sprinting that way. Throws it. I catch it. Intercept it. I ran it for a touchdown.
Hell yeah. All
so right. I ran it under the lights. I like turned. I had it on video.
Like,
they didn't even play that well. That's how shitty we were. This is Boston high school sports. It's bullshit. You know, I do like a fist pump. Yeah. I look like a fucking idiot. Yeah. And I'll never forget, we go in the locker room and it was like before halftime. And I remember like these two guys who I played football with growing up, they were a year older. They're going, Jared Freed scored a touchdown? That loser? Like they were talking about it as if like a make-a-wish kid.
did it. Like, they go, cool, what? Can you believe of all the people? And I'm going, I'm right here. I played with you. I've been good. What am I, delusional? Like, was I delusional my whole life? I have been pretty good my whole life.
Yeah. Like, good. Hey, you got those good soft hands, man.
That's right.
Took it to the house, bro. What are they talking?
But that is one of those moments where you hear someone say exactly what they think of you, and you're like, oh.
I remember I was wrestling one year right after my father had died, just like 3 months before this, and I'm in this tournament. It's like a holiday wrestling tournament, so it's December or it's like February, and it's, you know, 12 different schools from the surrounding area come and meet, and you're doing an all day tournament and shit. And they asked me to wrestle a class up. And, you know, if the guy's fat, I got it. But if he's solid with muscle, it's a long ass day.
You knew your type.
Yeah, it's a long ass day. Yeah. Right, dude. And they put me up against this kid that's just a monster. And I'm giving up at least 15 pounds. I'm on the scale with a pudding cup, eating it with my singlet and everything on. And it's not even budging.
Right.
And I go in and I am definitely supposed to lose this. The coach is like, listen, just don't get pinned. We, you know, just try to stay. Don't get pinned. We don't need that. Just fight him off.
For the team.
For the team. I'm like, okay. And I go in. This dude's a big motherfucker. And he just, did you wrestle as well?
No.
I just gave him, you know, a little checked his head, and I just chuck him by me a little bit. And his neck just sticks out far enough. And I was like, fuck it. And I threw a headlock on him and flipped him and dropped on him. And then I took that arm and I shoved it over his fucking mouth and nose, and I rocked. And I didn't just rock. I prayed that I would hear the, because I knew if I didn't, this kid's going to get up and he's going to fuck me. I knew he made a mistake and I caught him.
Right. You got him on a bad day.
That's it.
He
stuck it out just a little too far. I noticed it. Everything works in my favor. And then I hear the boom and the kid gets pissed. I win. He doesn't want to fucking shake my hand. The whole thing.
Your team must have went fucking nuts.
Coach is going nuts. I'm going nuts.
Yeah.
We get on the bus. Coach is giving out awards at the end. But instead of saying, this one goes out to, you know, guy who had the, also ended up being the fastest pin in the entire tournament.
Right.
Could have said
there's a
that.
Lot of positives here.
This guy goes, this award right here goes out to the guy who should have never won. There's no way he should have. We already had him down for a pin. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, man, there's a way better.
How about the guy who won us the meet? Yeah, what the fuck is this?
There's a way better way to pump my tires. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You could have done this in any way you wanted.
Never would. Shouldn't have. Oh man, this God, is that's the
miracle, man.
Yeah, you know, that's the college. I was like, it was such an important moment for me because I was like, man, I was just so angry with everything, with my dad dying, right, and confused and everything. And I go out there and boom, I go in the locker room and I just break down and have just a wall of emotion. Just
right. Shoo.
And then to get on there and he says that shit, and I'm just like, this is what
also,
life is.
Also,
right,
you here. Know. You're not like, the thing is, like, there's a thing where it's like, not every time has to be a come back down to earth time.
Yeah.
You know, you got lucky. You know, this is a one in a lifetime moment. This wasn't, you know, that's the annoying part.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't need to be reminded.
Right.
I knew it when I was like, God, don't get up. Don't get up. Don't, God. I squeezed everything I had. Like, oh, God.
Don't
God,
do it. Please. You heard it. You had your Rocky moment. Yeah. You had your fucking
like,
Rudy.
Let me have it, bro. Let me have it.
Yeah. And then they got to remind you, well, we still don't think you're shit.
Yeah, but here's a paper.
Right. That's so funny. Yeah.
So tell me what happened.
So this is all to say that when I was doing the life insurance thing, I wasn't really like enjoying my life. And when I do stand up, that was the only thing. When I remember when I started doing stand up, that was the only thing that felt like that scout team moment. You could just go to an open mic and go and do it. Mm-hmm. You could just go to any, you get on stage every day just by signing your name on a list. Same as scout team. Like, I don't know. I had such energy for that. We need scout team, sprint right out. We got open mic. Sprint right out. Like, I just always had that feeling that was akin to the scout team feeling. I was literally running through mud when I was doing the life insurance thing. I just was like, I can't wake up in the morning. I don't feel great. But New York City in the fall, when you're fucking in your 20s, I don't think there's a better place in the world to be. Football Sundays, that's when everyone's
you know, it's a transplant town. So it's not like...
You're right.
So like...
Here too, yeah.
Right. So football Sundays at a bar in LA and New York, those are the greatest times to meet people, have, make new friends, be around this like kind of like group that is bigger than just the people you move to the city with. Everyone's got their people from work or from friends from high school, friends from camp, whatever it was. That was a really good place to meet people. So I had this like group that we would go out Sundays and get hammered, watch the games. And then that was it. So I like loved Sundays in football. So the Patriots, they go on, they're the best that ever was ever. That season. They're the undefeated season.
Oh, this is the end.
Right. Because that was the thing that Tyree, broke it. So undefeated season, everyone's talking Patriots. Every week's a party. And my grandfather again is like, I want to send you guys the Super Bowl. And I'm like, yeah, this is the dream season. They're undefeated. My grandfather, who fucking spoils me on everything, like, he's like, I'm sending you. If they go, you're going. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Of course. And my cousin and his friends who happen to be going. So it was in Arizona, sends us out there, and I go, and there's not a lot of hanging out. Like, you know, if you're not, have you ever been to a Super Bowl?
No.
Here's the thing about going to a Super Bowl. It's not that fun. It's very corporate. If you're not.
It seems like it to me, like it would be.
It would be fun or?
No, it would be not fun. It'd be very like regimented and like we're doing this corporate event over here for Coca-Cola and Xerox or whatever the fuck.
You have to have a lot of money to have fun at the Super Bowl.
It sounds like it.
And if you don't, you're just kind of like one of those people at the NFL experience holding a big Bud Light. There's not a place, if you don't got money, not a lot of places to sit.
You got the tall boy over at the NFL experience.
Right. That's you're great. Just like walking through a big fucking stupid kids thing with a beer. So we were like, it was like the Saturday night before. And it's like, what are we going to do? So we're like, let's go to a strip club. Like, let's go. And we go and I'm like, you know, we walk in and they're like, do you guys want to go to the back? We're like, yeah, fuck yeah. And they're like, how much? And it was like $100 each. It was like, I remember it being reasonable. And you're like, yeah, let's go to the fucking back. It's reasonable. And I don't like telling the story because it really is like, I'm not a strip club guy. You know, I'm not just going strip clubs every time. You know, like, I'm not proud of it. I'm like, I'm also 24, 23. But I'm putting this out because I don't want to like, I just anytime a strip club comes up, I'm like, I've been no, you know, I don't like strip club guys. Like, have you ever been on the bachelor party where like there's that guy that needs to go? Like, I'm not
that
guy.
Had a roommate that was gone, you know, on Wednesdays.
Yeah. No, that's not, I don't.
So no, I know.
Especially I've always been like a single guy. Like, I want to be around women that might want to actually fuck me, you know? Like, right, so I'm just not that guy. I don't know. And there are those guys and that's. It's all okay. But so we go, they bring us in the back and we are getting drunk. And I'm like, I don't know when this happened, but they're like, do you want to stay? And I just remember taking out, I had a money clip and I remember taking out my wallet and I'm like, and it just explodes everywhere. And one of the people picks up my card. They're like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, yeah. And honestly, that's the last thing I remember. I don't have any, and we just wake up there.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got drugged big time.
So
you definitely did.
There's no question in my mind. We wake up. And it's my cousins and I. And
all the same people you were with are still there.
And we're just like, what?
Okay, my question, what time did you get there roughly?
I don't even remember. It's so long ago. And also like.
What time did you wake up? Like morning?
Morning.
Damn.
It was like that scene in Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
They walk out and we're like, what but happened to the time?
Is the club still going?
We were like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, I just remember being like.
In here to vacuum, like.
Right, time to go. And we're like, and it didn't really hit me the drugging thing. Cause I'm like, I have to assume now that's what happened. And it's only because of that movie Hustlers. The Jennifer Lopez.
I've never seen that one.
I think it was like, they were like, yeah, it's based on a true story. They took advantage of these fucking losers. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the loser. You know, like I'm going, and
I think it's Cardi B that got in trouble for saying that they used to do that at the strip clubs. Drug the guys and rob them and stuff or something.
They took a thumbprint to like make it, you know, like it's very hard to like when you have the signature and the thumbprint.
They did that. Wait, They took your thumbprint and did the signature for how much on the card? How much?
10 grand.
No! 10 grand! Jared Freed, they got 10 grand on a credit card. On what? Did they cash it out?
It's just done. I didn't even ask questions. I just had the receipt in my pocket. And you're like,
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What the fuck? And now we're going to the game. And I'm like,
are you? Do you have enough room on that card?
We just, and it was my dad's card. So my dad, and again, I'm like 23. I've got a card attached to him. I'm trying to like figure shit. And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
see, here's the other thing about this too, that I'm now looking at the business side of it. If I'm a sex worker, most likely that's probably not a local girl. She's probably come in from somewhere else because they know that you guys are coming in from around the world for the Super Bowl.
Cash heavy.
Cash heavy, right? Card heavy too. Running right up as much as we can. They're probably all in on it. And they get guys like you and probably slip them a roofie or whatever it is, Xanax and their alcohol, mix it, blackout. They're gone. They don't remember it. Boom, they take it and then they're gone. It's not like you're going back to that strip club and it's like, come on, Trixie, we know what you did. You know what I mean? You're never seeing them again.
And I'm more worried about my dad than the money. You know, like I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, again, I'm close to my family. Like I, you know, there's a betrayal here. I feel horrible. And I'm also like not remembering anything. Like I'm sitting here with you trying to like put together. I don't have any details. Like, and we go to the Super Bowl the next day and you're just-
You don't go to the police? You don't report this?
No. Like, I didn't even know what that you could do that.
You don't tell the club anything? Like, hey?
I just, you know, it's right now as I'm telling you, I'm like, how did I not do these things? But I was just like, Let's get the hell out of here. Like, I don't know how this, like, does anyone remember anything? No one had an answer.
How many people total with you?
Like four.
And they got all of you. And you all like, woke up together and everything. Everybody's sort of coming to at the same
coming
time.
Coming to the same time. Get out.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? That is weird. That's almost timed. That's weird. Yeah. Fuck.
I felt so bad. And then also like the anxiety from drinking. And you're like, again, like I've blacked out. I've gotten too drunk. We've all had those nights.
Yeah, but we've done that to ourselves. You got robbed, bro. You got robbed.
Like that's something I won't even admit today. Like,
that you got robbed?
Right.
Why do you feel embarrassed that you got took? Like, is it an ego thing? I don't know.
I just don't. When you don't have the memory.
I see.
You go, like, if I was held at gunpoint, you'd go, yeah, I was robbed.
Right.
I was at a strip club drunk, but not, I don't remember being that drunk.
And you're saying the last thing you remember was they grabbed your car and somebody's like, let's do it. And you're like, go ahead. And that was it. That's the last thing. Wow. Until you wake up.
Wake up.
And nothing's ever come back.
Nothing's ever come back. Receipt in my pocket.
10 grand.
Yeah. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. And I wish to God it was my credit card because then I'd just keep it a secret.
Well, when does it hit your dad?
Like, yeah. So we go to the Super Bowl. The Tyree catch happens. God. We're like, we need this.
Oh, God.
We're like, I just need them to win. Yeah. I need something good. Can you imagine?
Of all the Super Bowls to see them lose, that's probably the worst.
We're like, we did this. In my mind, I did this. I'm the reason. I'll never forget. I was so mad.
I never forget. We were at the stadium. I just like peeled my jersey. I had a jersey on. I peeled it off and just put it in my pocket, like my back pocket. I was like, I'm not getting shit. Because it was all New Yorkers too.
Back
to the New York East Coast piece of shit. I don't need shit right now. I'm down 10 grand and the Patriots has fucking lost and, the game of the century.
Yes. An epic, epic game.
17-1.
Yeah.
18-1, right? That was what it was. A couple weeks go by and he gets the bill and we didn't talk for a month.
Wait, hold on.
And my dad.
Did he not call or did he call you and go, hey, this shit hit?
What
and
the then he fuck didn't- happened?
Didn't he call? What? No one called the credit card company. Like, look, my car got stolen. This isn't.
I literally wanted away from this. So there's a lot of things. I'm like, why didn't I do that? Like, why didn't I? The adult, I think, you know, I was a, you know, I'd say I was a child, 23. Yeah. Yeah. I'm more worried about my dad than anything else. Like, I'm not worried about like, I don't know. And he asked a bunch of questions. I remember just like, I don't have any answers. And he's like, are you that fucking stupid? Like, are you that? Like, and I felt so horrific. Like, then my That's grandfather sent us there.
Oh, shit, yeah.
What happened? You know, like, and my dad references, and anytime it comes up, I get embarrassed. I can't talk about it. Like, I even now, I'm like, I'm feeling very, like, I'm okay talking about it here, but I'm like, you know, even now, I'm like, ugh.
Your dad still does bring it up, though.
He'll go, yeah, it was just a good day until... You know, like he fucks with me on it.
Yeah.
But like, it's real money.
Dude,
you know,
that's
like,
a lot of money.
Right. I felt so bad. And I still, to this day, you know, and, you know, you come back and it's like, you know, also because it wasn't like I paid for my trip to the game. You're like, Jared, you're a fucking loser.
Someone's
like,
gifting
someone
you
gifted
the
you.
Game of a lifetime.
And you ruined a whole memory.
I mean, listen, you did make the strippers night, though.
Right. Some kid went to college. Yeah. Some tuition got paid. I don't know. Right. Yeah, like, I did. But I think back on that. I'm like, there's no question in my mind that I was drugged. There's no 100%. Question in my mind that this was like the move. It's Super Bowl weekend, of course. And I just like, but I look back on that. I'm like, I really, you know, you said, what's your low point? Like, you know, I have a very lucky existence. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that fully. I acknowledge that more now because of doing comedy. Because there's a lot of comedians that go and try to like out sad each other when they don't have a sad story to tell.
Yeah.
That frustrates me because I'm there with no sad story to tell, not doing that. You know, like this story is not, you know, when you were like, what do you, I'm like, this is the only thing I can think of. You know, I'm lucky in that sense. Like, I just remember the disappointment and feeling. And again, when I tell you I'm close with my family, like, you know, you almost lose that. You lose trust in them. They don't want to hang with you. They don't want to be around you. They can't even look at you. These are people that you like.
Is that the longest time of not speaking a month?
Absolutely.
What made it, what brought you back together?
Probably the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to go home. You know, you don't know where else am I going to go? And then there was like a moment of like bashfulness, you know, and then, you know, time. But it was always like, you know, the next year Super Bowl.
Every year
it comes up. Yeah. That Tyreek catch, every time there was a replay, I'm, you know, looking at the ground, looking at like twiddling my thumbs like a fucking, I can't even look him in the eye.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
10 grand.
And you know what? I'm not, you know what it is? I'm not confident enough to be like, I was fucking robbed. I think it's a confidence thing.
But have you ever told your dad that?
We've never talked. I just don't bring it up.
For real?
I don't want to bring it up.
You never once said, Dad, look, I'm embarrassed and I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, we were robbed. You never even said that much? I mean, I would make a difference as a dad for me. I'd be like, still don't get robbed.
I think he has to know that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I would hope maybe he just thinks you guys got buck wild since you were drunk.
Legit, nothing happened. Like, legit, had a nap.
Yeah. Right? You definitely did.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just think the act of not remembering, you get self conscious, like, what did I do? Maybe I did something wrong. And it's like, no, you fell asleep. And, you know, if you did something wrong,
drugged and robbed.
If you didn't get drugged and you were a big piece of shit at the strip club, that place has cameras everywhere. They would have. immediately
thrown you out
and shown the cameras and arrested us. Yes. And they would have done everything that I didn't do.
And also, if you just fell asleep, you would have more memory. Right. If you just fell asleep and woke up, you'd have more. You'd remember more of that evening.
I have no anything.
You got drugged, so you, dude.
And then what
it
made
me to me once before, but really? Inadvertently though, like the I took a drink at a bar that was meant for a lady next to me for
saved
sure.
A life.
I mean, I may have, and it. I mean, gone.
And you gone. Just lights out.
Lights out.
Right.
Threw up standing up. Remember nothing after
I was
that.
Up the whole
woke night. Up the next day in my home. Don't even know. My friends took care of me. Thank God. But no, for sure.
Dude, it's scary. You know, we're lucky to be alive.
Right. So you are. You really are lucky to be alive.
If you think about it.
All right. So I told you that at the beginning of this, before we recorded, that I'll ask you advice you give to your 16-year-old self at the end of the episode. And this is what I'm curious about.
Sure.
We're there. What, because you say you've led a bit of a charmed life.
Sure.
Fortunate. What advice would you give to 16-year-old Jared?
It's advice I give to myself today. You know, we write to edit. Like, I really believe in that. Like, write it down. It's not over. You're going to be able to edit it. Everything you do, you write it down so you can edit it. Like, it's a work in progress. Like, it's going to be okay.
That and, and then I don't mean to interrupt, but are you saying that for comedy or for life?
I start with comedy. And I think it's for life too.
I agree.
Really it started because my brother and I lived together in New York City. And my brother is like a more of a moody guy than I am, you know. And he, I say that sounds so vague that he hits me. No. No. No, he's just a moodier guy. If you catch my brother in a bad mood, you're going to know it. You catch me in a bad mood, I'm going to avoid it.
Yeah.
So I would tell him bits, and I could tell when he was in a bad mood, he'd be like, that's stupid. And I'm like, no, there's nothing stupid. I'd be like, no, we write to edit. I'm telling you this because it's not a finished product.
That's right.
I'm telling you this because I want to edit it. I want to see if I'm on the road to better. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going? We write to edit. So that's, again, it started with that, with me saying that to him, and then it became everything. We write to edit. You know, listen, I feel horrible about it. I still, like, even telling the story, like, it's like, feels like a, like, it hurts me to tell that story. And then I'm like, you know what? I definitely learned from it. You know, I definitely valued things a little bit differently after that. I definitely valued, you know, family, my relationships differently from that.
Were you a little more careful with drinking in bars and stuff after that?
Yeah. I'm a drinker just generally. Like, I don't smoke weed or anything, but
But are you a little more careful about watching someone open a beer in front of you as opposed to just getting a draft on the bar?
No. That sounds stupid. I am. Yeah. As of today. I've never really like wanted to unpack this story. Like I've never kind of told bits and pieces of it, but I never really wanted to like unpack it in a way to go, yeah, Jared, you were fucking robbed. You were drugged. This is okay to like admit. Like,
Hell yeah.
But you know, I guess I always go to what did I do wrong? I always go to that. Like, what am I going to get in trouble for? You know, like that's like me at 16 and a half in the car. I'm sorry I hit you. Right, no. He was looking the wrong fucking way. Yeah. I'd rather be my fault and let's move on and I'll be okay. I'll give you the empathy that maybe you won't give me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that if I'm talking out loud, if I'm giving myself the therapy, that's probably my first instinct, you know?
That's great. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So.
Well, thank you for doing this. This was awesome.
This is a pleasure.
Dude.
It's great to finally meet you.
Is you as well. Plug and promote everything one more time, please.
37 and Single. That's the special. It's on Netflix right now. And then everything else I do is on Instagram, at Jared Fried. I yell at The Bachelor. I put out ick videos.
Icks, I love the icks.
Yeah, the icks are fun. I'm always doing stupid shit. You know, like no one ever cast me in anything. So I was always casting myself and coming up with bullshit that some was fun and people liked and some no one cared about. I would yell at charcuterie, call myself the board lord. Stupid shit.
That's good.
Yeah. So everything I do is on Instagram and Jared Fried there, but 37 is like, I want people to go watch the special and like have fun with it. Yeah, gender reveal bit. There's an ick bit. There's eating at night. I'm like totally addicted. Yes. I mean, I have a story I would have told if I didn't tell it there. I love eating at night.
I like going to bed on a full stomach. Mm-hmm. The way I grew up, it just reminds me today, at least, that I'm not poor and that I got one more day in me.
Well,
one more motherfucking day in me.
That is not how I think of it at all. I appreciate that you think of it that way.
But I'm definitely watching the special. Go watch Jared's special. Go watch my special. Come see me on tour. All tickets are available at RyanSickler.com, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.